Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Please take your seats quickly, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Passing Shot with Joel and Kim, supported by DownloadTennis.com. On today's Indian Wells preview,
Medvedev and Tsitsipas lead the way with the big three absent.
Raducanu lands in the quarter of death.
And Andy Murray gets a toughish draw in tennis paradise.
Kim, tennis paradise is here. Indian Wells is here. We've had, what, I think 2 years off from the tournament. It was meant to be in March earlier this year. That didn't happen. And now it is upon us in October. We've had the four Grand Slams and we've got the so-called fifth Grand Slam. We've got lots of top tennis players there across the men's and women's draws. We've got a lot of top tennis players not there, which we've already kind of spoken about with, you know, Djokovic, Barty and Osaka not making the trip to the desert. But I think generally speaking, everyone's a bit excited for this because it's been so long. And, you know, actually looking at the last time it was played, so much has changed in those, what, 950 odd days since it was last played.
You've been counting the days, Joel. You're quite precise. Almost 950.
I've had a calendar on my wall. I've been circling this sort of red letter date that Indian Wells is actually back and are with us as tennis fans.
Yeah, it has been such a long time. It's crazy. And I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad it's here because it's nice to have a bit of California sunshine channeling through to us whilst it's sort of pretty autumnal and getting dark early. But yeah, I'm really excited to have it back, even if it means we don't have, you know, Rafa, for example, or some of the other, you know, real top characters. We've still got plenty of fantastic players and hopefully plenty of fantastic tennis to look forward to as well. I think we should probably commence looking at both of the draws in turn. So we'll get onto a bit of doubles as well at the end. But let's begin with the men's singles, because last time out, Dominic Thiem took home the title and he is not here. He's off for the rest of the season. As you alluded to, it's the first time in at least 18 years that there was no former champions whatsoever in the men's draw. So it is guaranteed to be a first time winner. And I guess all eyes is probably going to be on Medvedev. Gosh, I can't speak. Medvedev, who's top seed, you know, fresh off the back of a US Open title, his first Grand Slam. What's he going to do? Like, we haven't seen anything of him since. So all eyes are going to be on him and how he can proceed through the draw.
Yeah, definitely, because his record at Indian Wells is actually not that great. He is 1-3, lost 3. Yes, he will be in a very confident mood now that he, I guess, has got the monkey off his back in terms of winning that first Grand Slam at the US Open. And no doubt that would have given him so much confidence. And, you know, the fact that Novak Djokovic isn't here, sort of breathing down his neck, it's a big chance for him to get those ranking points and, you know, make a run, I think, at becoming the world number one, which I think will be one of his targets and ambitions now that he has won his first Grand Slam title. And it's probably one of his ambitions now that he's obviously going to be at the ATP end of season tour finals as well. Probably one of the biggest targets that he'll be looking at for the rest of the season. But if you look at his draws, quite an interesting one, because he could face you know, Filip Kranjevic, assuming he comes through Mackenzie McDonald or James Duckworth in his first match. He could face Kranjevic, who will have Marcos Giron or a qualifier. And Kranjevic actually beat him the last time they played each other at Indian Wells. And I mean, that just shows, I guess, how long ago that was. I think Medvedev was the 14th seed. He went out 6-3, 6-2 in the third round to Kranjevic. And as I said, a lot has happened since then. And you wouldn't be surprised if you would get the complete opposite result. So, I mean, it doesn't feel like there's too much troubling kind of Medvedev kind of earlier on. He's got Hercash in his section. That feels potentially like a quarterfinal. And you've also got kind of Riley Opelka, Grigor Dimitrov, who showed that he has brought some form with him over the last, last week or so. So, there's certainly some seeded players who might give him some thought, but I think if Medvedev plays the way he did in New York City, he should be coming through his quarter of the draw quite comfortably.
Yeah, I feel like, Krajinovic, possibly, but I don't see it really. No. Opelka, possibly. But I think, if Medvedev's on form and, just riding that wave off the back of his first slam, I think, anything that anyone in that section is going to throw at him, I can't see it being enough, barring, if possible injury or freak events, which, have been known to happen. I mean, let's look at the next quarter down, because we have got Rublev as the top seed in this section. But perhaps more interestingly, Joel, we've got Cam Norrie in this section as the 21st seed, fresh off the back of a San Diego final in which, to be fair, he did get kind of blasted off the court by Casper Ruud. But, he had that win over Rublev. So I'm sort of thinking, is Rublev guaranteed to get through, from this quarter? Because he may very well face Cam Norrie again, who, knows how to beat him now.
Yeah, really interesting second quarter, because you've got, some of those people who got to the latter end of the tournament in San Diego to the semi-final and final in Rublev, Norrie and Ruud. I feel like all the talk of the town at the moment is Casper Ruud, despite, only being the sixth seed. I think we all know kind of Rublev's game. There's still those question marks about how one-dimensional is it and whether he is a bit of a bully in terms of he can beat those lower-ranked players. But when he comes up against people who have a bit more of a tennis brain on them or know how to, kind of figure him out, he kind of comes unstuck like he did, against Cam Norrie, who I think, after that first set in San Diego, sort of, got to grips with how Rublev plays and was able to, able to adapt his game, was able to kind of come through in three sets. And I would not be surprised if that happens again. But I mean, for Norrie, he could face Bautista Agut in the third round if he wins his opening match against either Montero or Tennis Sangrin. So that could be quite tricky. And you've also got Dan Evans, who is in the kind of bottom section of the second quarter. Now, I actually think he's got the easier seed potentially in the third round in Diego Schwartzman, but he could come up against Nishikori if he gets through a qualifier in round two, which would be a very interesting matchup, because I think Nishikori, I think we've been talking about him. Oh, he's been in this draw, he's been in that draw, and he's had to pull out and has been replaced by a lucky loser like what happened in San Diego. But hey, this time it's not going to be Andy Murray. It's going to be another Brit. It's going to be potentially Dan Evans.
Yes, exactly. But I mean, we should be cautious not to get too ahead of ourselves, because we often find that these massive matchups or, really exciting battles just never happen the way the draw works. So there's, no like definitive, we can't be 100% sure that that's going to happen. But it could very well be Cam Norrie and Dan Evans coming through this section of the draw. Can you imagine if that was an all British quarterfinal? How fantastic would that be?
That would be absolutely great, wouldn't it? I mean,
it
there
would
are
be
other.
Some. Yeah. We've got Lloyd Harris, Casper Ruud. I'm sure both of them would have something to say about that. So it's unlikely, but one can dream, can't we, Joel?
I mean, it's interesting because Casper Ruud, I think he will look at Indian Wells as his chance to properly, I think, rubber stamp and kind of legitimize himself as a top 10 player. He's got he's in this quarter. I think he'll look at it like, I'm the guy here who has so much confidence and belief at the moment and has really kind of carried that form through from those clay courts during, when everyone was, playing at the Olympics. He's taken that through to the hard courts. And again, I think he'll be looking at this draw. And even though he's not necessarily the highest seed, I certainly think that he can cause some damage. He could come up against, though, Lloyd Harris in the third round. And we know he's a very dangerous entity on a hard court. So that potentially could be quite tricky for him. But I mean, Lloyd Harris could have Davidovich Fokina in the second round, which could be quite a fun match. I mean, a couple of other Kim first round matches in this quarter. I know you're going to love this. Tommy Paul versus Feliciano Lopez. I mean, it's just amazing.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
It's just amazing. Feliciano Lopez is in a main draw of Indian Wells. I mean, even with a wild card, that's like seriously impressive stuff at what, 40 odd years old?
I know, he's got such great longevity and it's brilliant. Absolutely fantastic for Spanish tennis. So the Rafa fans will have to get out in full force and support Feli instead. we'll be making a couple of predictions later as to who we actually think is going to make it through each of these quarters. Let's look at the third quarter because that is headlined by Sasha Zverev as the third seed. But we've also got Matteo Berrettini in this section, recent Sofia champion Jannik Sinner, also got the likes of Carlos Alcaraz. You know, he made the quarters at the US Open. I think it was the quarters, wasn't it? Yeah, so that was his kind of big breakthrough. So what's he going to do? He could actually, really interestingly, possibly play Andy Murray in the second round if Andy Murray gets through Adrian Mannarino, which I feel that, you know, based on what we've seen of Andy Murray in the last couple of weeks, I think Mannarino is certainly a winnable first round for him.
Yeah, I certainly think Murray goes into that as the favourite, given the form that we've seen him in, it's a match that is certainly winnable and potentially sets up a tie against Alcaraz, which could be very, 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 very interesting. I think. As an Andy fan, nowadays we will take it one match at a time, and nothing's taken for granted. But given the form that he has shown, I think he'll just be happy. I think that he's got a nice, winnable first round match. You know, a bit of a loosener. You know, we've seen him train with Rublev, on the practice courts and the build up. He looks good. He looks comfortable. I'm expecting him to come through and really, again, test himself, I think, against Alcaraz. You know, he had a very testing match last week in San Diego against Ruud, and I think similarly he could have that against Alcaraz, who, you know, hasn't really been on a tennis court. We haven't really seen him since his US Open exploits. So again, it will be a new situation for him, and whether he can bring on and take on that form that he, you know, reach new levels with, in Flushing Meadow. And that will be a very interesting test for Murray, but also potentially a very interesting test for Alcaraz, because as I said, he did show us, I think, a new level of tennis, at the US Open. And certainly I think with the way Murray is playing, I think Alcaraz is going to need to be maybe not necessarily at that level, but he's certainly, I think, going to need to be approaching it in order to come through against Andy Murray and potentially set up a match against Sasha Zverev.
Yeah, I think that, to be fair, is a winnable match for Andy Murray should he get through Mannarino, especially if it's Alcaraz's like first match back after the heights of New York. And I mean, interestingly as well, another kind of key figure, if you like, from the US Open and from that US Open series, Jenson Brooksby is in this little segment of the draw as well. He, if he gets through a qualifier in the first round, would face Sasha Zverev in the second. Oh. So that could be quite a tasty matchup.
That could be very fun. I mean, it would be great to see Brooksby. I think all the American fans, probably like British fans about Raducanu, I sort of think American fans are looking at Brooksby and seeing what he can do and would love to see him in another testing environment, we saw how much he thrived, particularly in that first set, which was still one of the, I think, craziest sets of tennis I think we've seen on the tour this year. And I think people will want to see him thrive again in that environment against, the number three seed in Zverev. So I'm really hoping that match does come to fruition, because I think Brooksby in front of a loud American crowd on a night session just is just so much fun. I mean, Kim, just looking at that top section as well, interestingly, it could be the tale of the two Italians, because you've got Berrettini and Jannik Sinner, both seeded. Berrettini is the fifth seed, Sinner the 10th seed. Now they could meet in the quarterfinals if they both get there. Yes, Taylor Fritz and John Isner might have something to say about that. Maybe even Brandon Nakashima as well, or Jack Sock. But that could be quite, I know we sort of are playing in kind of what if territory, but that is certainly a what if quarterfinal. A what if fourth round that I really, really want to see.
Yeah, there's loads of Americans as well in that little section, isn't there? Like you said, with Nakashima and Fritz and Isner and Kudla, Sock. I mean, the list goes on. but I mean, I quite like a bit of Brandon Nakashima, so I'm hoping he does well because he was doing very well at the start of the US Open series. So I know it's been had a little bit of a break, but you know, we are still out in the States on a hard court. So fingers crossed for that one. And let's just look at the bottom quarter, Joel, because here we've got Stefanos Tsitsipas as the second seed, you know, heading up the bottom of the draw. He's got a pretty decent draw, I would say, just looking at who's in his section and the other seeds. People that haven't really made their mark of late, you know, Christian Garin, Alex de Minaur, Fabio Fognini, haven't really been setting the world alight with their results. So I feel like Tsitsipas has got probably, you know, the nicest section of the draw. In the top bit of the that part, we have got FAA. So it would potentially be an FAA Tsitsipas quarterfinal. But yeah, there's not really too many names jumping out at me as sort of potential danger men to upset Tsitsipas.
Yeah, it's this. I mean, this is looks more. I mean, this path looks a bit more straightforward, I think, than, for example, for Medvedev in that top half. And you know, for me, what's kind of interesting, I'm actually looking at Holger Rune as the wild card who could, I think, potentially do some damage, because as you said, a lot of these seeded players not really done much of late. And if Holger Rune comes through kind of a qualifier in round one up against the 13th seed Christian Garin, I mean, I don't even actually know how Christian Garin is still the 13th seed, to be honest, but you know, I think that's certainly a winnable tie. And again, he was a player who showed very, very good, you know, fighting him against Novak Djokovic I think it was in round one in the US Open, where again, he did a bit of a Jack Draper at Wimbledon and took the first set off him. So, you know, I think he, again, is another very interesting prospect that I certainly kind of have my eye on. I mean, this could also be, Kim, a potentially, you know, Carreño Busta. We know he's a good, very solid hardcourt player. I wouldn't be surprised also kind of if he kind of comes through potentially causing some upsets along the way. I mean, it really feels like it's out there for, you know, someone to grab by the scruff of the neck. And, you know, even just kind of talking about Tsitsipas, I mean, he might be playing very good tennis, but what I'm most interested to see about him is how the crowd reacts to him, because this is the first time we're going to see him since all the, you know, the toilet break drama of the US Open. And I want to know if the fans in the States, whether they're going to remember that and how they're, and if they do, how they're going to react to it.
Exactly. I mean, that is quite true. But I mean, I do genuinely feel that it's Tsitsipas or AN other in this section. And I'm here if, you know, PCB wants to go through and be the man. I'm down for that. I'd rather enjoy a bit of that. So yeah, let's roll with that, Joel. Shall we make some predictions for the men's draw? Shall we disregard everything we've just been saying for the last 10 minutes and make some wild guesses?
I know. Well, I wish I could be more wild. I've been a bit more wild on the women's side, but I think for the men's side, I'm still in that top half looking at Medvedev Rude. I've got Medvedev in there. I just think he's going to be riding on a wave of, you know, confidence. And, you know, I think he's going to revel in being the top seed here. I know we've seen, for example, you know, Dominic Thiem, you know, looking back, what, you know, he won his first Grand Slam. He won his first Grand Slam in New York. And it, you know, since then, it's not really, you know, in that aftermath, it didn't really work out for him. And I don't know if he lost, you know, his motivation, or, you know, obviously had some injury setbacks as well. And, you know, the lockdown as well, he wasn't able to sort of kind of cope with all those, I think, those changes from the pandemic. But so I certainly think that Medvedev and his sort of laid back style is sort of more acclimatized and accustomed, I think, to just kind of taking it all in his stride. You know, he's been there or thereabouts for a few seasons now, and I think that he's going to revel in this kind of top seed billing. You know, no Novak Djokovic, it's going to be spotlight on him, and I think he's going to kind of thrive in that environment. So I certainly see him getting to the semi-finals. And again, I'm gonna put him up against Casper Ruud, who I think is one of those players who's just another in very, very good form, very, very good nick. And I'm expecting him to translate that form he's shown at the kind of 250 level in San Diego. I'm expecting him to bring that now to the table at the Masters level event, and I'm expecting him to reach his, what I would think is his first semi-final at a Masters level.
I think he's had some clay court Masters semis, Joel, but
had he?
Certainly at Indian Wells, it would be his first
hard court semi-final then.
yeah, I've gone similar. I've gone Medvedev, but I've actually gone for Andre Rublev because I feel like people are dismissing him slightly and forgetting about him, but you know, the onus is on Ruud. You know, he's the sort of man in more form. So I'm going to say Rublev. I'm going to go with the seedings for that part. And then for the bottom half, I'm going very much with Sasha Zverev, and I'm not going for Tsitsipas. I'm going to go for FAA to make the semifinals.
Okay. Well, any reason? What you think the Tsitsipas is going to get booed out of the building and he's going to feel really sad and he's not going to be able to perform?
Yeah, I'm still not sure where he is, where his headspace is at. Like on paper, that's a very easy draw and he should be able to like roll through it. But I feel like, you know, FAA hasn't done an awful lot at Masters Series, but perhaps this is the time. And again, he's got a decent enough draw to come through that section as well. And I think the last time he played, Tsitsipas was at Indian Wells, he did lose to FAA actually. So if they did meet, then perhaps it could be a repeat of that.
Yep, fair enough. Yep. I mean, for me, I respect your opinions, Kim, but I don't see it, and I'm going to go with Tsitsipas. I think you know, he's done very consistently this year at the Masters level. He obviously won in Monte Carlo without dropping a set, and I certainly expect him to reach the semi-finals. So I'm going to back Tsitsipas as the number 2 seed. However, in that third quarter, I've gone a bit rogue and I've gone with Gael Monfils. I've got a Monfils Tsitsipas semi-final. I think Monfils is just going to love having the crowds, and you know, he's shown that he's been in good form. He's got Lorenzo Sonego potentially in his section, and then he could come up against, you know, Alcaraz, Zverev, or even maybe Andy Murray. And I think that he's re-energized, you know, towards the back end of this season. And I certainly think that will kind of help him kind of carry through. And even though he might be feeling tired at times on the court, I think he just finds another level. And I think it's time for him to show us that, you know, he is back. So yeah, it may feel a bit foolhardy, but I'm going to go for a Gael Monfils to get to a semi-final of a Masters, which probably hasn't happened in a long, long time.
No, that is a long time coming. Okay, so who's your overall champion, Joel? I'm going to go for Medvedev Zverev final with Zverev winning.
Oh, interesting. I've not even got Zverev getting to the semi-finals. I just think I don't see it. I think he might get knocked out by potentially Alcaraz in his section. But I set my final. I have got Medvedev Tsitsipas. I know it's a bit bland, and I've gone for the top two seeds making the final. But I can't see how it isn't at the moment, kind of going into the tournament. And I certainly think that Medvedev is gonna put a lot of pressure, I think, on Novak Djokovic and that number one ranking spot. And I think he's going to take home the Indian Wells trophy, despite his form and his record here not being that great. I think the fact that we haven't had this tournament in 2 years, I think it's going to enable him to, and a lot of these players, I think, have a kind of a fresh mindset, a fresh approach, you know, look at this tournament with a bit of a blank slate. And I think Medvedev will want to kind of show post US Open, yes, I won my first Grand Slam, and I think he'll want to kind of assert his authority and carry that on. And I think the best way he can do that will be by winning this trophy.
Well, we shall see if you are correct, Joel. and all will be revealed over the next week or so. Let's take a quick break now, but do join us in the second half, where we'll be having a look at the women's draw at Indian Wells, including Emma Raducanu's potentially perilous path to the final and whether Karolina Pliskova can live up to her top seed billing. So do not go anywhere. This is The Passing Shot with Joel and Kim, supported by DownloadTennis.com. And now we're going to move on to looking at the women's draw for Indian Wells. So we've got lots going on. We've got Bianca Andreescu coming back to defend her title from 2 years ago. She is actually the defending champion. We've got Karolina Plíšková as the top seed, which, yeah, surprised me. But obviously, we don't have the likes of Barty or Osaka here. And then we've got, you know, Emma Raducanu, recent US Open champion, and also the US Open finalist Leila Fernandez in the draw. So very much interested to see what they're both going to do, as it's the first time we've seen them back out on a competitive match court since the US Open final.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, I think that all the chat has been, you know, it's been, I think, a lot of chat with Raducanu, which we'll come on to, about all of the off court things going on with partnerships, sponsorships, getting rid of her, you know, US Open title winning coach, bringing Jeremy Bates on board, which I think is another short-term arrangement, who I think he's the head of women's tennis for British tennis. So he is going to be in her corner, or in the stand even, for Raducanu here. But yeah, we'll come on to that. But I mean, Kim, let's start with Karolina Plíšková and that top quarter, because as you said, Karolina Plíšková is the top seed. No Ash Barty. We don't have Sabalenka as well. Kenin's not there. Obviously no Osaka. It feels a bit weird seeing Karolina Plíšková as the top seed. I'm not going to lie, but I think it's quite impressive actually, given how, you know, terrible, you know, she started the year. It's been a real journey, I think, for her. And it all sort of twisted with, you know, that run to the final at Wimbledon. But yeah, I mean, looking at her path, she's got quite an interesting draw. There's a few, I think, dangerous characters in her quarter, because you've got Ons Jabeur, you've got Maria Sakkari, Bianca Andreescu, who hasn't, you know, I think we're still waiting for her to really kind of make a statement win at a tournament. Annette Kontaveit as well, who is the Ostrava champion, are all kind of there and kind of, I think, what I would say, kind of your dangerous kind of seeded players. So I don't think it's going to be very easy. And we all know Karolina Plíšková is one of those players who is just sort of at the top or there or thereabouts in the rankings, but hasn't necessarily translated into kind of tournament victories. But you know, this is a tournament she does historically do well at. So, you know, I think there's definitely arguments for and there's definitely arguments against. I'm not sure, but I'm personally speaking, I'm not sure given the form of some of the seeded players in her section.
Yeah, she seems to lose quite a lot in finals at the moment. But I'm not convinced by her seeding. I think there are others in this section of the draw that stand out more, which is Ons Jabeur, recent, you know, Chicago finalist. Also Maria Sakkari, who's been...
Danielle Collins.
Yeah, Danielle Collins, perhaps, as well. And obviously Andreescu, we know that on her day, she could very well just storm to the title, perhaps. So there's definitely, obviously, it's open and very hard to predict, despite Plíšková being, yeah, the top seed. But like you said, I think it's really nice, and it does show that the journey she's come on, like, it's been a year of progression and back to where she was, you know, a couple of years ago when she was the world number one and she was racking up titles on the tour.
And I think Andreescu's on a similar journey, actually, because she had, you know, that really big, you know, string of results around, you know, this time or sorry, when Indian Wells was on, you know, back in what, in 2019. And, you know, we're still waiting for her to catch fire, I think. And, you know, this is a tournament she will have very fond memories of. And I think, again, she'll be looking at this tournament being like, right, I made a name for myself at this tournament a few years ago. You know, this is my opportunity to, you know, to reassert myself. And again, I think she will be heavily motivated. I think a big question for me will be the form of, well, the health of Annette Kontaveit, who is in a lot of really good form at the moment with that Ostrava win. But I think she's carrying a little bit of an injury. She could come up against Andreescu potentially in round three. So maybe some question marks there, but certainly there's a lot of players here, I think, with a lot to prove, like Plíšková living up to her top seed billing, but also Andreescu living up to the hype, Jabeur and Sakkari. I think they need to prove to us that they can win tournaments and not just kind of cause upsets and then lose in their you know next match, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you want them to be able to go all the way and not just throw a spanner in the works. No, absolutely, for sure. I mean, let's look at the next quarter down, because we've got headlining that one. Well, Krejcikova is actually the top seed in that, but I guess more eyes probably on Garbiñe Muguruza, because she's just won Chicago, beating Ons Jabeur in that final. Also got the likes of Kerber in here, Camilla Giorgi, who we know went on that fabulous run and won her own Masters, 1000 in the summer. So again, very difficult to predict. I do feel Muguruza's probably on a little bit of a roll, but then, you know, she did win that Chicago title with a bit of luck along the way with some walkovers. And, you could say she's definitely had tougher fields to win a title.
I mean, Kim, you're not telling me that Kim Clijsters on a wild card is going to make her way through this section.
She might tire someone out again. I could see that happening.
In the first round.
Yeah, I mean, that's not easy, is it? Sinyakova's a very decent player, and yeah. I feel like Clijsters isn't going to win that one, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. I think Sinyakova this season's shown how good of a singles player she is and she can be. And I think that's going to be very tough for Clijsters. I would say the only, I think, ray of hope, I think, in that match is the Sinyakova serve, which I think is very attackable. And I think a lot will ride on how aggressive Clijsters can be on that. I think on that return of serve, potentially to break and maybe win that match. But I'd love to see a complete throwback. I mean, potential Clijsters Kerber second round there, which is which feels like a match from a decade ago. But that could be very interesting. But I think that's kind of wishful thinking. I mean, you're looking at Muguruza, you're looking at Krejcikova. There's a lot of power players, I think, in this part of the draw, because you've got, as you said, Giorgi, Badosa, Coco Gauff's also there. So there's a lot of power players. And I know we don't like to do a lot of crystal ball gazing, but I would love a US Open rematch between Muguruza and Krejcikova, because that was, you know, there was some definite spice towards the end there. I don't think Muguruza was particularly happy with the what I think she would call antics that Krejcikova was playing on the court back in their US Open match. So I'd be interested to see. I'd like to see a rematch there, because I think that could be quite spicy again.
Yeah, I seem to remember that match. Didn't that end in Muguruza at the net saying that Krejcikova lacked respect, or yes, there was some yes. word spoken? Yeah, so that would certainly be interesting. I mean, that could be could be a quarter final. Muguruza could be playing Kerber in the fourth round. So, few more old school matches up there as well, in a way. But Coco Gauff, Caroline Garcia could be a second round match, but I mean, Garcia's not getting any wins at the moment. So
Anna Samova, Camilla Giorgi could also be quite fun as a second round match. Lots of interesting ties. Diana Strzemska, Caroline Garcia, Kim against a qualifier. I mean,
I know the qualifier's winning that.
You were hiding that from me, but I have to wait and see. Hopefully it's not as bad as that last result she had that we spoke about.
Yeah, she lost to a Japanese qualifier or wild card. Yeah. Was that last week, I think? And yeah, just very standard, I'm afraid, for Caroline Garcia. She's really fallen by the wayside. But enough about her. Let's look at the third quarter now, Joel, which you've labelled the quarter of death. Because Emma Raducanu's in there. We've also got Svitolina as the fourth seed. Petra Kvitova's in there, seventh seed. Azarenka, Halep, Mertens, you know, missed consistency there. Let's start with
Marta Kostic.
Yeah, another young one. Raducanu, let's look at her draw, because she's got a bye in the first round as a 17th seed. And then she's got either Osorio Serrano or Šašnjević in the first round, which, you know, you'd think both fairly winnable. You'd expect Raducanu to come through that, seeing as what she did at the US Open. But she could potentially then have Simona Halep, should the draw gods allow, which would certainly be a very tasty early round matchup.
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone is looking at that thinking, please let that happen. And, you know, if it does happen, it comes at a very interesting time, because, you know, both of those players have, you know, just kind of split with their coaches. You know, we've already kind of spoken about with Raducanu. Yes, Jeremy Bates will be in her corner. But I think, you know, reading the press headlines, I don't think she's in a rush at the moment to make a more permanent arrangement. And again, we also saw Simona Halep part ways with Darren Cahill. So it's a very interesting, I think, context potentially around that match. And also the fact that Raducanu, one of her idols growing up was Simona Halep. So again, there could be a bit of stargazing there. I don't know if that's going to have any sort of impact. I mean, it's just going to be fascinating, you know, regardless, I think, of who Raducanu faces in terms of how she handles this moment, because it's a completely different world now to, you know, US Open qualifying. She's a marked woman in this draw, and even though she's the wild card 17th seed, everything a loss is, I think, you know, the press and the hype is so high now, I think unfairly, it's like anything other than winning the tournament, it feels like, is going to feel like a letdown, which feels a bit silly. And I think we should, you know, try and be a bit realistic given the draw that she's got. You know, she's going to have to lose at some point, basically. And I think there needs to be a little bit of a reality check, or a dose of a small dose of reality, given, you know, what we've been through and the draw she's got at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like you said, anything less than winning the title will probably feel like a bit of a letdown because of the emotions of New York. So we have to, you know, be realistic. And I think if she can get through a few rounds here and have a decent showing, that would be great. Going out first round, not ideal, but, you know, we have to remember she's still very young, and this is her first, you know, Masters level event, first 1,000 event. And yeah, you may have won a grand slam
as well.
Yeah, it's very different, isn't it? And she'll be navigating all of that, you know, pressure and expectation, which, you know, probably is worse than any other sort of pressure, I guess. And we've seen it afflict so many sort of new champions so many times. So
who is the crowd applauding for in a Raducanu Halep match? I feel like that's just like cheering every point. I think there's just two players, I think, that are just universally loved. And I think we've seen on the practice course this week that Raducanu is just one of those players that the crowd follows, and Simona Halep is also one of those players. So I think it'll just be as corny as it sounds, if that match does happen, it could be a match where I think tennis is the winner.
Yeah, I know. I completely agree. They're both very well-liked players. And I think hopefully it'll be a fantastic spectacle for women's tennis just generally. And I mean, we've also got quite a few Americans in this section of the draw. We've got Jessica Pegula, Sloane Stephens, who interestingly has got Heather Watson in the first round. So we'll see if Heather can get a few wins under her belt, or even just one. That would be fantastic. But yeah, this is a fantastically loaded quarter. Let's just quickly touch upon the last quarter as well on the women's draw, because down at the bottom we've got Iga Świątek as the second seed, and also Belinda Bencic as the eighth seed. So they would potentially be lining up for a quarterfinal. But this is the section that we've got Leila Fernandez, who, you know, hasn't played since she got to the final in New York, and all eyes will also be on her to see if she can keep up her really good form at the US Open. We've also got Elena Rybakina, although there are kind of, I think, some injury doubts perhaps about her, seeing as she had to retire, didn't she, last week? So
Chicago.
Whether she was saving herself for this tournament, I don't know. But I've sort of ticked her off the list as a result of that in terms of people who could potentially go deep. But it's interestingly enough, Świątek, second seed, she, you know, actually hasn't secured her place at the end of season WTA finals, which is quite strange, seeing as she's, you know, right up the rankings. But it just does just go to show she hasn't really had the best of years, has she?
No, exactly. And I think Raducanu, actually, just sorry, I know I feel like we're talking so much about Raducanu, but I think Raducanu will look at, I think, Świątek's journey, and particularly her journey after, you know, she had that, you know, monumental win at the French Open, which again, I think, came, you know, yes, it didn't come from qualifying, but it still felt like it came out of, you know, nowhere. Certainly, you know, once we, you know, we saw that match with Simona Halep, we realized that she was kind of the real deal on a clay court. But yeah, I certainly think with this quarter, I don't think she's the favorite. I still think there are maybe question marks around her serve, and just still feel like it's quite attackable. And until she potentially does more with her serve or makes it more awkward or adds a little bit more speed to it, then I think she's always going to be a little bit susceptible. I think she's found that out a little bit this season. And I'm actually looking at Belinda Bencic at the top of this quarter as, you know, as the player who I think expect to kind of go deep, you know, go deepest and come out of this quarter, because, you know, she was a player who, again, did very, very well, you know, at the US Open, does very, very well generally on a hard court. And I think, you know, she's got quite a nice draw, I think, you know, a couple of matches to kind of potentially ease herself in. I mean, yeah, Shelby Rogers or Kalinina could be quite tricky as an opening match, but I mean, Jill Teichman, yeah, I'm, you know, Leila Fernandez as well. I mean, as much as the pressure is going to be on Raducanu, it's going to be pressure on her as well. And it'd be interesting, I guess, to see who handles it better, because I certainly feel like Fernandez, if I'm being really honest, I'm still jury's out a little bit on Fernandez and her like technical ability and a talent wise. But I'm happy for her to again prove me wrong. I know she proved me wrong at the US Open, but she, again, I think we'll look at this quarter and think, yeah, there's big opportunity here for me to come through. And who knows, maybe there'll be a Raducanu matchup later on in the tournament.
Yeah, technically we could have a Raducanu Fernandez semi-final, but I mean, Fernandez loves a, you know, a three set tussle, doesn't she? She likes to come from behind, so perhaps she'll be hoping for some battles. She might have Elise Cornet in the second round, and she's definitely a player that you could have a long-winded battle with. Yep. I know what you mean. I feel like obviously you'd rather be in Raducanu's shoes, having won the US Open and not lost it, but I feel like I'd rather be Fernandez coming in with, you know, there is less pressure on her, you know, as the finalist. So I think she'll be a bit more relaxed maybe than actually Emma will be. It all depends on their approach to it.
I mean, interestingly, Fernandez is in the doubles with Coco Gauff, which is a very, well, I think lots of tennis fans are looking at that partnership thinking, that is absolutely amazing. But the fact that she's, you know, playing singles and doubles, yeah, I think that just shows that maybe she's taking a bit more of a kind of a relaxed, yeah, you know, I'm just here to get as many matches as possible, therefore I'm going to play singles and maybe doubles with my friends. Whereas, yeah, with Raducanu, it's a bit, you know, singles and let's, you know, and I'm expected to win the whole tournament. There's definitely, I think, two different kind of approaches going on there.
Yeah. I mean, let's make some tentative predictions then, Joel, for the women's side of things. I'll start with mine, shall I? I've gone from the top half of the draw. I've gone for an Ons Jabeur against Muguruza final. So I've gone for a repeat of the Chicago final last week. Oh, sorry. Yeah. So that's the semi-final, but it was a repeat. It is a repeat of the Chicago final from last week. Yeah. And then for the bottom half, I've gone for Svitolina, who is, you know, a very consistent player. And I've gone for Shelby Rogers, actually. I know you just mentioned her. She's got Belinda Bencic in the second round, if Rogers can get through her first round. And I just feel like that could be a prone for an upset. And I feel that Shelby Rogers might go on a bit of a run here. Famous last words. It's probably not going to happen, but I'm going to go with it.
Interesting.
What about you?
I've got Muguruza in my top half semi-final against Maria Sakkari, who, again, as I said before, I just think she is one of those players like Jabeur that needs to, you know, yeah, we've seen her do it in the odd upset, and it's been amazing and it's been great, and she really, you know, loves, you know, she plays very passionately and the fans absolutely love it. But I want her to make that next step, and I want her to, again, get another breakthrough. And I think I see her kind of getting to the semi-finals, and I'm sensing a Muguruza Sakkari semi-final in that top half. Bottom half, I haven't got Raducanu. I think I'm going to go Simona Halep. I think Simona Halep might beat Raducanu if that match happens, due to kind of experience. And I've got Halep versus Bencic. I just think Bencic is one of those players who's just been playing very well on the hard courts of late. And I would have maybe said Rybakina if she, you know, hadn't had some kind of injury kind of doubts over her. But yeah, I'm going to go Bencic in my bottom half against Simona Halep.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Interesting, Joel. So for the final, and your winner, who are you going for from that lot?
I've got Muguruza Bencic final with Muguruza winning. Yeah, for some reason, I just think Bencic is going to go all the way to the final. But she's going to come unstuck against Muguruza, who I think is just going to, I don't think she's going to be fatigued from Chicago. I think she's a player who, I think once she gets on a roll in terms of kind of winning and getting to finals, I think she kind of stays in that mode. And I'm sort of expecting her to kind of carry that form through from Chicago. So I've got Muguruza Bencic and I've got Muguruza winning the ladies final.
Fantastic. Yeah, I've gone for a Jabeur Svitolina final with Svitolina winning. So I've just gone for, Svitolina, perhaps just someone who, you know, will come through without too much hype and fuss. And I don't think Raducanu will go all the way and win, sadly, but I'd like to see her do very well regardless. And that's probably the thing I'm most interested to see in Indian Wells, as I'm sure most people, especially British tennis fans, all eyes will be peeled on Emma. So before we finish for today, Joel, let's just quickly touch upon the doubles, because obviously big doubles draw as well out in Indian Wells. Got the likes of Joe Salisbury and Rajiv Ram back together. Rajiv Ram was absent last week, but they are now back together, which is great. So they'll be looking to do very well as the second seeds. Obviously top seeds, we've got Mektić and Pavic, but yeah, a whole host of quite a lot of what do you call it? Patriotic, all country team draws, you know, got Alcaraz and PCB playing together. Isner Salk, you know, Evans is playing with Skupski. So, really
Berrettini
good pairing.
Sinner. That's a really, for me, that is really interesting. We spoke last week about how different their singles games are. Can they complement each other on a doubles court? I'm sure they've played together before, maybe in Davis Cup. I could be wrong. I don't know. That for me was one that kind of stood out. Also, from a British point of view, Dan Evans, Neil Skupski, they played quite well together at the previous, I think they played quite well together in a previous Masters, in Miami or earlier on in this, or Cincinnati, I think they did really well. Maybe I think got to a semi-final completely unexpectedly. So maybe they're looking to carry that on, but yeah, quite a few same nationality. Yeah, teams going on that, I think could be quite interesting. A lot of singles players, as you would expect, getting a lot of tennis in.
But no Petros Tsitsipas. No Petros Tsitsipas.
No.
People will be pleased to know. Or perhaps not pleased to know. And then on the women's draw, I guess the most notable thing was the fact that Coco Gauff is not playing with Katie McNally, but she's gone with Fernandez. So I don't know what's going on there. Perhaps McNally wanted a bit of a rest. But that'd be a great pairing. And obviously you've got the likes of Su Weishei and Elise Mertens and Krejcikova and Siniakova as the top two seeds. So pretty difficult pairings to beat there.
I know.
But yeah, that brings us to a close. We are going to go off and, I guess, start watching Indian Wells, Joel. The action's getting underway extremely soon. So we'll be back, I think, halfway through, roughly, to bring a bit of a catch-up of what we've seen so far. And then, obviously, we'll be back for the finals weekend as well.
And, Kim, it is on in literally, I think it's actually just about to start for us. It's the time zones are working out perfectly. We've got the WTA round one main draw proper starting today. I think we're still in men's qualification, final round qualification today. What one match are you looking forward to? Because we've got Sloane Stephens, Heather Watson second on. I'm looking at Kaia Kanepi, Madison Keys later on today, which I think could be quite interesting. Any matches that take your fancy?
Well, Shelby Rogers is going to win easily because she's going to storm her way through to the semi-final. And I guess the winner of Osorio Serrano and Šćerković will be playing Raducanu. Other than that, I have to say, I want to see how Heather gets on against Sloane Stephens. That may sound a bit, you know, obvious, but I think that would be quite a nice one to watch on an evening in October in the UK.
And also, just on men's qualifying, actually, Ivo Karlovic could qualify And he's got Emilio Gomez, I think, in his final qualifying round. So obviously gunning for that. I mean, it's just, again, crazy what he's doing at his age on the tour. I think he's close to retirement. We said it last time, but he keeps playing too good tennis to kind of pass it up, and to see him in another major or at Indian Wells would be fantastic. So I'm rooting for him. So I've got an eye on that as well. But yeah, listeners, I hope you've enjoyed listening to our preview of Indian Wells. Tennis Paradise is back. Remember to subscribe to us on your podcasting platform of choice to stay up to date on all the action at Indian Wells. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Castbox, Stitcher, and all good podcasting platforms out there. Remember, you can also listen to us on the downloadtennis.com app. And if you want to show your support for the show, then why not leave us a rating and comment on Apple Podcasts?
And you can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at Passing Shot Pod. So do give us a like and a follow if you don't already. You can contact us on all those social channels, or please feel free to email us instead at passingshotpod@gmail.com. And you can also check out our website, www.thepassingshot.co.uk.
And we will be back probably sometime next week at Passing Shot HQ. We're going to be doing a bit of a mid-tournament catch up at Indian Wells. I'm not quite sure what day we're going to do that yet, but if you follow us on Twitter, we'll let our listeners know on there. How will Andy Murray get on? How far will Emma Raducanu go? Will Medvedev be able to kind of make his way through as a top seed? We will soon find out, but I hope you could join us for our next catch up, our mid-tournament catch up at Indian Wells, as I said, probably sometime next week. So I hope you can join us for that, and we will see you again soon.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.